ask you for that divine favor. And Lord, that every need be met tonight. Matter of fact, Lord, I know that all the needs are really in the supernatural. They're already met. We're just waiting for them to manifest in the natural because we have your love, your grace, your promises. And Lord, just bless your word tonight. Bless your people. We love you. We praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. We're nearly finished with this great book of Samuel, the 1 Samuel, the book there. And, you know, tonight, as we look on the sad road to Endor, and it is a very sad road, you know, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, worse than a wasted life. Amen? Think, I mean, living all of your life like King Saul, but it would be a total waste. Remember in 1 Samuel 26, 21, when David, the conversation between King Saul and David is occurring. And Saul said to himself, he said, indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. What a horrible epitaph to put on anyone's tombstone. A totally, completely foolish, wasted life. I mean, a man who was choice among his people. The most handsome man, the Bible says, in all of Israel, who stood head and shoulder taller than anyone in Israel. A mighty man, a man of valor even. The one that was God anointed to be the first king of Israel. And you think of, what a sorry life that he lived. And I mean that with tenderness, not judgmentalism. But you know, those nine words that Saul spoke, you know, when he said, indeed, I've played the fool, I've erred exceedingly. That summed up King Saul's entire life. And tonight we have one of the saddest stories in all of the scripture. And here you have a man again anointed by Samuel, a man that the Holy Spirit came upon and to set him apart for service. God gave him, it says in scripture, he turned him into another man, gave him another heart. And yet his life was filled with hate, with envy, with complete disobedience to God. Only a few times did he obey the Lord. And I look at that tonight and I say, now the terrible digression on that sad road to Endor. And that's when he falls, of course, it goes completely down the tubes, man, and walks in the darkness of witchcraft, or when he goes to the medium or the witch, the soothsayer, whatever, there at Endor. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 8:19, God says this, it says, when they say to you, meaning the people of Israel, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums, and wizards, those who whisper and mutter, should not the people of God seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living, to the law and to the testimony? If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Tonight we look at the sad story of Saul beginning in verse 1 of the sad road to Endor. Let's begin. Now it happened in those days, that was when we're just left off now with chapter 27 last time, the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel, and Achish said to David, you assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. And David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians or my chief bodyguards for the rest of your life, forever. Now, David didn't really respond back to Achish in this, and we're going to learn in chapter 29 what actually happens, but let's begin our sermon tonight in verse 3. And now Samuel had died, and all of Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums, now a medium is one who evokes or adjures those to come up from the dead, if you will, that communicates with those that are dead, spirits and so forth, and the spiritists, those are the ones who, of course, have a familiar spirit conjuring up the dead, and it says they put them completely out of the land. So at least Saul, it appears, he did something right by obeying the Lord, amen? And now I don't know if he was mad at the mediums, the witches and all, and got rid of them. We're not told, but at least he obeyed the Lord. They're all out of the land. May I tell you, but they're not all out of our land tonight. You can just drive a few blocks right down here tonight on 377. Look on your right as you pass by. And when I was a little boy, I passed it by on my bicycle as I rode my bike from Keller or Fort Worth to Keller all the time. Can you believe what a great trip that was for a young boy? I did that so often. It's located, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. I hope you didn't stop in there on the way to church tonight. You know what I'm saying? No, you know, it's interesting tonight. We look at the fortune tellers, the mediums, the soothsayers, those who conjures up, they say, the dead. You know, just a couple of days ago at Mass, Pope Francis, you know what he was telling the people? He was pleading with his followers. He says, listen, do not listen to the mediums or the fortune tellers or the soothsayers. Interesting. Here we are in the 21st century. You know, you can go online and today, and I hope you never do this, but many hundreds and thousands of people in our nation around the world, they go online and they can just type into their favorite psychic or whatever and ask questions and so forth. There's one such site. It says this: we are more than fortune tellers. We are California psychics. If you're from California, I forgive you. Just $1 per minute. Our trusted psychic advisors are experts in the following areas: love and relationships, destiny and life path, career and finances. And then it shows a picture of all these, and it doesn't have a witch up there, you know, not Samantha twinkling her nose or however that worked back then, but there are all these beautiful, whatever they are. You know, it's amazing how gullible the world is today. Amen? So, you know, the Bible tells us in Exodus 22:18, God's word says, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Those who call up the dead, those who try to tell you the future. If you look about the laws today in the world, all over the world and in America, you know, it says there in Exodus, when God gave the law to Moses, he said, if that person is a sorcerer, they're going to die. You're to stone them, you're to kill them. In Saudi Arabia today, that punishment is still taking place if they catch you doing those things. Here in America, you know, they're not allowed, I don't believe, if I'm correct, to say that they're fortune tellers. They can call themselves psychics or psycho. I don't know which one it is. But they have to have a license. I'm sorry, it cracks me up. You know, you go in there and there's a little license on the wall. I'm the government's giving me a license to practice being a psychic. I mean, that is really just blows me away, but that happens. You know, the Bible says in Leviticus 20:27, it says a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits, that spirit guide, if you will, shall surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Now, look at verse 4. And then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. And so Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. Now that's going to be the place we'll find later on, is where Saul and his sons died. And when Saul saw the size of the Philistine army, he was terrified. He was afraid. His heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord didn't answer him, either by dreams, that would be a personal revelation from God, or by the Urim, he couldn't do that because he'd already killed all the priests. You follow me? Remember? Doeg killed all the priests and so forth, the 85 priests of Nob, and then, of course, executed everybody, all the women, the children, the infants, the donkeys, oxen. He wiped out everything. So it took a priest to be there. Only he could tell you, operate the Urim and the Thummim. And so there was no way that was going to happen. So this sad road here that he is upon, it says, and neither did the prophets. They didn't even answer because there wasn't any at that time. And so the sad road to Endor, the place of all fear but no direction from God. And God is so silent. And you know what's really sad about this wasted life? That Saul will never, in the scripture, call upon the name of the Lord again. It's all over for him. What a wasted, sad life. And then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Find me somebody that can communicate with people that are dead, in other words, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, well, you know what, King Saul? In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Now, that was just 6 miles up the road, so all of them evidently hadn't left the land. There was this one we know was left. So since God is not speaking to Saul, what does he turn to? He turns to the powers of darkness. He turns to the devil. You know, we never want to be on a road like that. Amen. I mean, can you look at this guy's life? How blessed that he was and how God used to speak to him, of course, through Samuel and so forth. But now God is silent, completely silent. And here he is in desperation. He's turning to hell, if you will. I wonder what happened to Saul's heart from verses 6 to 7. I mean, I say, Saul, why didn't you repent? Why didn't you call out to God and just say, listen, I have sinned? Why would you go to something you knew that was forbidden? In other words, forbidden counsel. And so this is going to cost him his life. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:31, give no regard to mediums or familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now look what he did in verse 8. So Saul disguised himself. He put on other clothes. Now, of course, he didn't want anyone to know he was the king, but really, to me, this is prophetic in a way. He was removing his kingly robe, which had already been removed by God. Amen? And he says, and he went, and the two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me. Literally, bring up for me or call up a spirit from the dead for me. And he says, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. And then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the Medians and the spiritists from the land. And he says, and when then do you lay a snare or a trap, literally, for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. That is one of the most frightening verses in the Bible, isn't it? You know what Saul just did? Saul just made himself greater than Almighty God. Do you follow me? Yeah, listen, Saul involved God in an oath to grant immunity to the one who was commanded never to sin like that. And the person who sinned like that, they were to die. And so he was actually taking the Lord's name in vain. And he says, and so here, this terrible road to Endor that he's on, the place of forbidden counsel, look at verse 11. And then the woman said, well, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, what did she do? She cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, don't be afraid. He says, now what did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. Now listen very carefully. This is one of the most controversial chapters, if you will, in the Bible. And it's a hotly debated subject, by the way. In other words, this witch of Endor, she cried out. And now, why did she cry out? Did she cry out? Does that mean that Samuel's or anyone's spirit who was coming up, was it unexpected? In other words, was this witch nothing more than truly a spectator? And not only that, was this Samuel? See, there's those say this couldn't have been Samuel. Well, if you look in the Hebrew text is very, very plain. It says in Hebrew, she saw Samuel, and the Bible calls his name Samuel. Are you following me? Now, did Saul see Samuel? You see what Saul said? He said, what did you see? I don't think Saul saw anything at all. He's asking this woman, tell me, I want to know what you saw. And the woman said, I saw Elohim. That's what the word spirit means there. I saw something. I saw someone that looked like a God. I saw someone that looked like a mighty one. I saw someone like a divine being, a spirit that was literally ascending up out of the ground or out of the grave, out of the earth. Now, look what happened in verse 14. So Saul said to her, well, what is his form? In other words, what's his appearance? I think Saul was really confused. He's trying to figure this out now. He says, what did he look like? And she said, well, number one, he's an old man, the old man who's coming up out of the grave, if you will, out of the earth. Number two, he's covered with a mantle. Now, that would be the robe or the robe of a prophet. That would be the robe, for example, that remember when Saul grabbed the robe of Samuel and it tore and ripped, and Samuel turned to him and said, God has torn or removed the kingdom from you. You'll no longer be the king. He's going to give it to your neighbor. Now, listen to what happened. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. Boy, this is a very troubling text. Let me ask you a few questions, and I don't have the answers for all of it, okay? And neither does anyone else. However, we must ask ourselves, can a medium, someone who conjures up the dead, can they really bring up a righteous person? Think about that for a minute. In other words, can the living communicate with the dead? You know, would God allow someone like this, a woman with familiar spirits, a woman who's actually in the demonic, sold out to the devil, would God allow Satan, the power of Satan, to literally bring up a believer? You know, those are questions that people really wrestle with. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus there in Luke chapter 16? And you know, the Lazarus died and the angels carried him into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man died and he went into Hades, remember? And in Hades, you know, there's three departments, you know. There's Hades, the place of the wicked dead, and then there's the bosom of Abraham, or paradise, back in the old covenant days, and that's where the righteous went. And then underneath that was a place called Tartarus, and that was where all the horrible demons were kept at that time. It's also said that when Jesus descended first into the lower parts of the earth, he is also the ones who ascended and to lead captivity captive, meaning that he emptied out the side Abraham's bosom, and they went into the heavenlies with the Lord when he ascended. Now, with all that being said, remember the Lord said in Luke 16, 26 about this parable, and he told the rich man, he says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf that is fixed. In other words, a gorge, if you will, that separated paradise, Abraham's bosom, from Hades, the place of the wicked dead. Now, he says, so that those who want to pass from here to you, Jesus said, they cannot do it. They can't do it. Nor can those from there pass to us. No people can pass in those areas. Jesus said it's impossible. It's fixed and there's nothing that can change it. So our question has to be this. Did Samuel really come back from the dead? Was it really Samuel that appeared to the witch at Endor and the same thing to Saul? Was it Samuel? You see, if it is, we would have to say, well, this is the only place in the entire Bible of such a thing happening. However, we could also look at it from another way. Remember in Matthew's gospel, I think it's chapter 17, the transfiguration of Christ. There were two people that appeared with our Lord as he was being transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. Who were they? Moses and? Had they been long dead? Long time dead, but they weren't dead, and they appeared there. Now, we know that Samuel loved the Lord, and we know that he went into the Abraham's bosom. We know that he's alive. Now he's in heaven, of course, but here's the thing. Did he really come back from the dead? Well, there's a possibility, I believe, that God did something here. That's the only way I know how to explain it, that God did so, and what he did, he allowed Saul one more encounter with Samuel. And I believe it was God rather than this woman that allowed Samuel to come up into, from the presence of the Lord he terrified the witch for one thing, and to speak. But what he spoke is going to be judgment, the last and final judgment against King Saul, who was constantly disobedient. Look at verse 15. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up, or literally bringing me up from the grave? And Saul answered, and he said, pardon me, I'm deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore. He doesn't answer me by prophets. He doesn't answer me by dreams. Therefore, Samuel, I've called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. Because I know we could add to scripture, because Samuel, he could say, you're one of the most insightful people in all of the world. I need some answers. You know what's so sad about this? This sad road to Endor is now Saul at the very end of his life. I mean, he's hit rock bottom. I mean, he has gone to as deep as you can go into sin. And here he was, the king and so forth, and he's prostrate and he's weak and he's bowed down on a witch's floor, and he's talking to Samuel and so forth. And Samuel said to him in verse 16, he says, why then do you ask me? Why do you ask me these questions, seeing the Lord has departed from you and, number two, has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. That's the king Agag, remember, the Amalekites. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. You remember the disobedience of Saul back in 1 Samuel 15. Remember that God said, listen, Samuel told him, said, you go now and take vengeance and take wrath out, God's wrath out upon the Amalekites. He says, every one of them are to die. He says, you destroy all their animals, everything. You remember what Saul did. He went out there, and instead of killing everyone, he kept King Agag alive. And he took the best of all the sheep and the oxen and so forth. He disobeyed the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, for rebellion, talking about Saul, for rebellion, to be disobedient, is as a sin of witchcraft, divination. And stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Now listen. Isn't it amazing that Saul, he wasn't willing to kill King Agag, but he was willing to let Doeg the Edomite massacre 85 of the priest of Nob. And not only that, remember what else they did that day? They killed every woman, every infant, every child, and they killed all of the animals. He wiped out his own people. He was even willing to kill, Saul was even willing to kill his own son, but he would not be obedient unto the Lord. You know, partial obedience is complete disobedience. Amen? And that's exactly, that was Saul's life. He says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And the reason is it exalts one's own will above the will of God. Boy, that's a horrible place to find yourself. Amen? No, witchcraft, it's rebellion is witchcraft because it replaces or rejects God's will with some other source. Horoscope, tarot cards, or whatever is out there today, the psychics and so forth. Look at verse 19. Moreover, now here comes the judgment. Moreover, the Lord, Samuel says, will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, just tomorrow, Saul, this is it. Tomorrow, you, your three sons will be with me. Now listen, that doesn't mean be with him in paradise, in Abraham's bosom. We can't, I mean, we don't want to sit here, you know, and refer that being with him in the grave means the status is that he's saved. I'm not saying he's saved or unsaved, but I'm saying we can't read that into the scripture. If you had received a word like that, tomorrow you're going to die, all your kids too. What a horrible word. Would you think that you might want to get your life right with God? Do you think you might want to get down on your face before the Lord and repent? Boy, I tell you what, I would jump on that in a minute, you know. But so we look at this, and he didn't do that. And he says, the Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. So what did Saul receive? No new revelation, no new direction, no comfort at all. You see, he has sinned by consulting the mediums, and now he's going to die because of it. It says in 1 Chronicles 10:13 about Saul, it says, so Saul died from his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, meaning when he killing King Ahab, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. So the evil that he saw is what really destroyed him. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. The Bible says that Saul committed a capital offense. It says in Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from the land. So now Saul only has 24 hours. One day, tomorrow, you're going to die. You know, if you want to know what your future holds, the best thing to do in life is ask God. Amen? Not anyone else, but just the Lord. I look at verse 20. And then immediately after that word, Saul fell full length on the ground. He just collapsed and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I've put my life in the hands and heeded the words which you've spoke to me. Now, therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants, together with the woman, they urged him, and he heeded their voice. And then he arose from the ground, and he sat on the bed. And now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread from it. And she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And they rose, and they went away into the darkness. They went away into the night. Loved one, this tragic life of Saul. I mean, this was his last supper, if you will. And you know what's so horrible is he didn't cry out for God. He did not repent, or we don't have any record of it. And you know, why did God give laws against the mediums, the witchcraft, and the diviners, soothsayers, and all of that? Why did he give that? Not because they're not real, not because they're not a hoax. No, the real reason is because it promotes reliance on someone else for information other than God. And also, this information is from hell. It's demonic. It's the powers of darkness. The Bible teaches us in Galatians 5:20, it says that sorcery, we get our word pharmacy or drug, pharmakia, or sorcery is a work of the flesh. The witchcraft or the horoscopes and all the rest of that. It's like I told you, I think, a couple of weeks back on a Wednesday night. I won't even look at a horoscope. Not that I'm better than anyone or more prideful or pious or any of that. I don't want anything to do with the powers of darkness. Amen? I don't want to open myself up in any way into that world. I don't want to know anything about it. Even sometimes when I'm studying about things like this, I don't like to read too much information. I want to know more about the Lord. Amen? And so we look at this tonight. The Bible tells us at the end of the days, man, I tell you, it says in Revelation 22:15, it says, but outside, meaning outside the city of God, there where the lake of fire is, it says, there are dogs and sorcerers, those who practice divination, those who conjure up the dead, those who are controlled by demonic spirits. And it says that they're going to be there forever and ever and ever. They'll never enter into the city of God. Listen, I believe that demons can manifest themselves in many different things. You understand? I believe they can make you think and make others think that they're bringing up the dead. If you really want to listen to the voice, the counsel of someone who died, boy, I can really introduce you to that person. Remember what happened in the book of Revelation? There is John, and he has been caught up in the Spirit, and he sees the Lord, and he starts describing him. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:17, it says, when John saw him, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, the ascended Lord, and so forth, he says, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, oh, do not be afraid. I'm the first. I am the last. Listen, Jesus hasn't changed in the book of Revelation. Isn't it amazing? He still goes up, says, don't be afraid. Puts his hand right on John and so forth. You know, and we don't need to be afraid. Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. Amen? Listen to what he says now. This voice from the dead, but now he's alive. You want to hear a voice that says, I am he who lives. I was dead. You bet. He says, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And listen to what he says. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Jesus has the keys tonight. Amen. He has absolute authority over everything. Don't ever kid yourself. The Bible tells us one day in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, that one day it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Those that are in heaven, those that are on earth, and those that are under the earth. Amen? Every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Jesus said, I have the keys of Hades, that unseen realm. And you know what? The only way for anyone to have the keys is to conquer something. Amen? He's the one who conquered the devil. He's the one who conquered death. He's the one who has the key to all of it. He has absolute power. The Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 1, it says, and then I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. Pardon me. And a great chain on his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He says they had the key. God has all the power. You know, to get to your end of your life. Do you ever think about that? I mean, where you're at right now in your walk. You know, there's so much wasted living, isn't there? Wasted on worry. Wasted on thinking that we need this when we don't really need this. Wasted on walking in doubt instead of walking in faith. You know, the greatest thing that we can do is let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Amen? We don't need to sweat and worry about anything. Like, I would rather, what if we lost everything? You know, I was thinking about this more. Everything was gone, okay, well, you still have the Lord. What more do you need? He could create a new earth. He could create anything. I'm starving, he can rain manna down from heaven. Yeah, but it's a hot day. He could be a cloud by day. But I'm cold at night. He could be a pillar of fire by night. Amen? There's nothing too hard for God. Don't let this world get you down. If you're looking for answers, there's only one place, I believe, that you can find the truth, and that is in the Word of God. Amen? Yeah, listen, Jesus said, you shall know the truth will set you free. But it's the truth that you know and apply that sets you free in this life. You see, we don't have to worry about death because Jesus, he says, I have the key. I have the key. I conquered death for you. I tasted death for every person, all of us. Now, poor Saul, think about it. The sad road to Endor tonight. He wanted to call up the dead, but instead he joined the dead. Look with me as we close tonight. Look at Paul's, the last command that Saul gave. Did you know it was disobeyed? Look with me at, just turn your page there to chapter 31 of 1 Samuel. you have to pardon me. I'm so sorry. My allergies are, I'm having an allergy attack. Somebody brought it in. Now, watch this. It says there, it says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell and slain on Mount Gilboa. That's where we learned earlier that he would die. And it says, and then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, the other sons of Saul. And look at verse 3 now. It says, and the battle became fierce against Saul, and the archers hit him. He was severely wounded by the archers. And it says, and then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword, thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his arm bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. He disobeyed Saul, the last command of Saul. Therefore Saul took a sword and he committed suicide. He fell upon it. And when his arm bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his arm bearer, and all his men died together the same day. What a tragic, sad story for a Wednesday night service. Amen? I mean, that's not edifying to me. It's a sad story of a wasted life. No different than Judas. I mean, Judas Iscariot. What a sad story of a wasted life. I mean, opportunity after opportunity. King Saul, opportunity after opportunity. And yet, his life ends up like that. Can you imagine living a life where distressing spirits come upon you and the only way those evil spirits would depart was because David was there and he would play the harp or the lyre, whatever it was, and they would depart from him and be at peace, would come back in Saul's life. He was so filled with a root of bitterness and envy, and it just ruined his whole life. I wonder if Saul really ever smiled. I wonder if he ever had a happy day. Wherever he was, he always had to have his spear with him because he was so terrified, afraid of the Philistines. He was afraid of everyone, David, but he was never afraid of God. Boy, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. You know, I say this a lot through the years, but tonight I feel like saying it again. Loved one, listen to me. Live. Live. Live your life to the absolute fullest. You know, when the sun comes out, if it ever comes out again this week, you know, listen, say, enjoy it. Enjoy that sunrise. Enjoy that sunset. Sit, if you have a porch, sit out on the porch and get you a good glass of iced tea, man, you know, and a piece of cherry pie. You know what I'm saying? Talk to the neighbors when they throw a rock at a dog. You know, this morning, I was on my walk. As you know, that's when I go on my walk. And man, I was attacked by two dogs. And that's one street that I go on. I don't know why they can't keep those dogs in their yard, but they got out and they were attacking me this big. I told them, I said, I'm not afraid of you. Pulled out my tear gas gun, you know, that I carry with me, and my laser and all the rest of it, you know. Enjoy living. You know what I do sometimes? I know we need, let's bear with me. I feel like talking. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about not wasting your life. You know, I had a person in the congregation, they gave me a flashlight. It is the coolest flashlight I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it's like a, you can go, not really, but it seems like it shoots for a mile, and you can make it blink, and you can use it as a weapon because it's got sharp edges, and I carry it with me, you know, I do. Because see, I'm 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, but when you walk, you know, I listen for the owls. And because I live down by the creek, and there's all these trees and throughout that area. And man, I spotted an owl the other day. Have I told you about this? No. Oh, good. I can't remember. And so I knew I could hear them. You know how they go, whoo, whoo, you know. I mean big owls, not these little sissy screech owls. I'm talking about the type of carry your dog away, man. You understand? I'm out there with just a flashlight trying to defend myself. And so it's real dark. And so I could not find him. And I kept, and I knew, and of course, all the trees, they hadn't had the leaves on them yet, like they are getting them now. And so I'm walking, and he does it again. I say, you hoot one more time. I'm going to get you. And he did, and I turned, and I looked, and there he was. Man, and I had that light on him, and he looked down at me. I turned that light off. Enjoy your life. No, listen to me. Go get you an old bicycle. Do something. Don't sit on the couch. Live your life. You know, when I think of Saul, it hurts me to read that story, to live a life that was so wasted, and yet here he was, the first king of Israel. Don't let anything steal your life. Love your wife. Love your children. If you're single, love whoever. Love your friends. Amen. Love your mom, your dad. But don't waste your life with worry or looking back at what could have been, should have been, or might have been in your life. Amen? Father, we thank you that you have given us life, and not just life, but Lord, you have come that we might have an abundant life. Lord, not just eternal life. Thank God for that, but a life here upon this world, upon this planet. Oh God, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength tonight. Amen. I thank you that, Lord, that we don't look to the world for answers. We look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith tonight. You are our answer. You are our Savior. Lord Jesus, you are our everything. Lord, if there's a burden upon any of your people tonight, that just weighs them down to where they feel like they're not going to make it another day or whatever it might be, this pressure, I thank you, Lord, by your mercy, your goodness, your grace, let it be displaced right now, Lord. Maybe there's sickness in the body tonight. Lord, by your goodness, your mercy, your grace, by the promises, oh God, bring healing. We praise you tonight. We love you tonight. And Lord, help us to live. Help us to look on the bright side. We thank you for that, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray tonight. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?